Chapter 19, Intellectual Emptiness. In South Africa's deeply divided society, the past is not a neutrally observed and politely agreed set of facts, eminent historian Professor Schuler Marx wrote in 1980. It is, she continued, a series of fiercely and indeed at times obsessively contested myths. The most contentious of these is that when settlers arrived in South Africa, they found a vacant land. The empty land myth formed part of the justification for apartheid, specifically its allocation of a small proportion of the country as homelands for the black people who formed 70% of the population. The myth was so ingrained that John Vorster, Prime Minister between 1966 and 1978, didn't even blush when he declared, "The fact that 13% of the land in the Republic is Bantu and 87% is occupied by whites is a division decreed by history." In his autobiography, distinguished social historian William Miller Macmillan wrote, "What passed for South African history when I was starting my teaching career in the 1910s was the tale of the conquest of a new country by lonely and scattered white men, with no regard whatever for the interests or the fate of Bushmen, Hottentots, the mixed races, or the African tribes. History was the triumph of white power in crushing all these peoples." The trouble started when European colonists arrived in South Africa, the Dutch in 1652 and the British in 1820, and sought to claim the uninhabited region for themselves. Complementing the empty land myth is the Bantu migration myth. The settler scribe W.C. Holden wrote in 1886 that by a remarkable coincidence, Europeans and the Bantu tribes entered South Africa at the same time. According to this implausible theory, as the Voortrekkers began to migrate northwards from the British-ruled Cape to settle in the interior, the Bantu-speaking population migrated southwards from modern-day Zimbabwe to occupy the same empty land. Therefore, the argument went, Bantu speakers didn't have an ancestral claim, and the two migrating groups had equal rights to the land, so good luck to whoever could take it by force. The land, according to apartheid dogma, was given by God to the Voortrekkers, and they had paid for it with blood. Another justification for apartheid's unequal white-black land division was the claim that the land had been depopulated in the Mfikane, the crushing, the series of wars that ravaged the interior of southern Africa. The Mfikane was set in motion by the rise of the Zulu kingdom under Shaka in the early 1800s. See chapter 42. Colonialists blamed the Mfikane for killing and displacing the other Bantu inhabitants of the territories and, conveniently, freeing up territory for colonial settlement. A publication by the Director of Information at South Africa House in London, South Africa, Intergroup and Race Relations 1970-77, a political backgrounder, noted, "After the frontier wars of the 18th and 19th centuries and large-scale depopulation of the interior as a result of the wars of genocide committed by the Zulu king Chake, Sik, the whites and blacks by and large retained the respective white and black homelands into which the country had come to be divided. After 1834, there was a historic movement by white farmers into the largely empty highland interior of South Africa to escape British colonial rule in the Cape Colony." As well as using the Mfikane to justify the homeland system and to assert that colonists had a God-given right to the land, the settlers also pointed to the black-on-black savagery of the Mfikane to justify colonization, saying colonialism saved Africa from itself and brought civilization to the Dark Continent. By the 1960s, though, Marx and other researchers who had been rethinking the history of Africa had shown that black people had been living in the interior of South Africa for more than 1,000 years before the Dutch arrived at the Cape of Good Hope. Marx had the receipts. She had archaeological evidence and the findings of linguists and anthropologists, whose work had exploded the empty land myth to correct the historical record and show that black people lived in most of South Africa long before white people arrived. In an essay paying tribute to Marx, Professor David Birmingham wrote that when she began researching the history of South Africa, the idea that black farmers had tilled soils, harvested cereals, brewed beer and ranched cattle for centuries before the first Dutch-speaking immigrants arrived, was almost revolutionary. He said a white farmer who accompanied Marx to see early Iron Age cattle bones in the Natal Midlands was astonished. What? Black people farming here before Jan van Riebeck? The evidence for the pre-settler history of Bantu-speaking farming societies became accepted in academic circles, but not in apartheid circles. The National Party, unsurprisingly, continued to promote the notion that white people were the pioneers on South Africa's frontiers, propaganda that filled school history textbooks. The propaganda was so successful that despite the abundant scientific evidence discrediting the empty land myth, a myth that also ignores the Khoisan who had been living in the region for millennia when the Dutch arrived, some white people continued to claim the land was vacant when their ancestors settled on this continent. In 2012, Peter Mulder, leader of the Freedom Front Plus and at the time the Deputy Minister of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, stood up in Parliament and said black people had no claim to 40% of South Africa because they did not arrive in the Western Cape and Northern Cape before the white settlers. Marx had a strange feeling of déjà vu when she heard Mulder's ignorant comments and listened as callers to an SAFM talk show revealed how clueless they were about the history of South Africa's land struggle. In response, she did what she had been doing tirelessly since she started to rethink Africa's history half a century earlier. She set the record straight. In The Mail and Guardian, she explained for the umpteenth time how the white version of African history had been successfully challenged and thoroughly debunked. Comments like Mulder's, she said, reveal the longevity of apartheid ideology, in which the struggle over South Africa's land and water from the beginnings of white settlement was denied.